welcome to worship. My name is David Hahn, and I am blessed to serve the community this weekend by leading worship tonight. So Chuck emailed me and asked if I'd come, and I said I'd be delighted to come. So it's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I invite you to stand as we begin our worship with a time for confession and forgiveness. I believe it's on page one of your Now the Feast and Celebration. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sin to God, who is faithful and just, and who has promised to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, have mercy on us. We confess to you that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not trusted you with our whole heart. We have not loved one another in deed and in truth. In your compassion, forgive our sins, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our light and our truth.
With joy I proclaim to you that Almighty God, rich in mercy, abundant in love, forgives you all your sin and grants you newness of life in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And the opening hymn tonight is 880. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy, Christ, have mercy.
Let us pray to the Lord. Strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God. Amen. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom.
Praise and glory forevermore. Now is the feast of the Lamb once slain, whose blood has freed and united us to be one great people.
Let us pray. Holy God, holy and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Maybe see.
First reading is from Exodus chapter 34. Moses' face shone with the reflected glory of God after he received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. The sight caused the Israelites to be afraid, so Moses wore a veil to mask the radiance of God's glory, taking it off when he spoke directly to God. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with the Lord, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with the Lord. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4. In his debates with the Corinthians, Paul contrasts the glory of Moses with the glory of Christ. The Israelites could not see Moses' face because of the veil, but in Christ we see the unveiled glory of God and are transformed into Christ's likeness. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is in the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God.
Stand for the reading of the gospel.
This day is from Luke chapter 9. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw the glory of Jesus and the two men who stood with him. Just as the men were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what a gift to preach on this text, the mountaintop experience at Holden Village. This is a pastor's dream to come here and to preach a text like this. Can you imagine being those disciples with Jesus on that mountain? That's Peter, James, and John. These are like the inside group that Jesus was close to. And on that event, Jesus was transformed. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, were there. And they saw what hardly any would ever get a chance to see. And they were just blown away. Can you think of your mountaintop experience? I remember being here years ago, back in college, and volunteering and getting to go up to Buckskin at the top, and years later to hike Martin's Ridge. And I'm telling you, there's nothing better. The pictures that I was able to take, they capture the moment. But to be in this place, to be surrounded by the kind of beauty and the awe of creation, is a wonder to behold, let alone to have the Son of God with you on the way, as the disciples did this day. But what I want to wonder with you about, and as I've been thinking this last week, is the word that God speaks to Jesus or to the disciples out of the cloud, where he said, this is my Son, the Chosen. Listen to him. What does it mean to listen to Jesus? What does that mean? What does that look like for you in your life? So I'd like to just wonder about that with you today. Because the disciples weren't really listening to Jesus. They, in fact, were so blown away by the experience itself. What they wanted to do was capture that moment. Maybe it was like this, you know, modern day or ancient selfie that they wanted to create to capture that moment and to hold on to it. Because that's what was going on. They said, let's build these three dwellings, one for you because you're so awesome, and for Moses and Elijah, and then we could just hold on to this moment. This is like holy ground. We want to hold on to it. And yet, they have to wonder, did the disciples really hear Jesus? I didn't notice this until I went back into the text with that question in mind in terms of what does it mean to listen to Jesus. But in verse 31, it says, they appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, that's interesting. So here they're having this conversation about Jesus' departure to Jerusalem, and for some reason, the disciples just want to be there in the moment. What they're asking of Jesus isn't where Jesus is going. And what they're caught up in is this experience of the moment that's actually holding on to the past. It's almost like, you know, just creating that moment that you can hang on to as if it will never go away, and you capture it. And yet, to listen to Jesus is to actually listen beyond that moment and listen to where Jesus is going. Because what Jesus is up to is going down the mountain to Jerusalem. Today, of course, is Transfiguration Sunday. This next Wednesday begins Lent with Ash Wednesday. And every year we get this text, this mountaintop experience text, where Jesus is transfigured. And it's easy to get caught up in that moment, that experience, that subjective feeling, and want to hold on to it as the legitimate ground for where God is showing up. But it's not just inside us. It's actually listening to Jesus and where he's showing up and where he's going. Because what Jesus is up to in going back down the mountain, even as he's been revealed as God's Son and named by God as such, the Chosen, listen to him,
He's going to bear the suffering of the world. Like, this is no small thing. This is Jesus' mission. This is God's mission in the world, is to bear with those who are in pain, alienated, dying, suffering. And that's who God is. And it's so interesting that the disciples get distracted and they perhaps don't listen to Jesus. And so what does it mean to listen to Jesus, and how do we do it in our day and age? It's so interesting to me, this notion from the Greeks, actually, that that God is determined as the one who actually is so apart from the world that God can't be affected in God's very life. And the Hebrews and the Christians have a very different sense of God. Because for the Greeks, if God could be affected in Jesus, he could actually experience the alienation and the suffering of the world. For the Greeks, that can't be God, because God is perfect. And God can't be affected in that way. And yet, for Jesus going down the mountain, that was precisely the promise of who Jesus is as God among us. The one who would actually receive into God's very life our alienation, our suffering, and our brokenness. And so, what does it mean to listen to him? It means to follow Jesus to the cross and to attend to the places where Jesus is showing up in light of that frame. This last week, there were some instances that perhaps can narrate what I'm wondering about with you. This last week, at the church that I attend, there is an after-school program, and it's right across the street from a middle school. And this children's ministry person who's been attending this and working this after-school program, Terry, she has invested in the kids, and she gets to know who they are, and she listens to them, and she finds out that a lot of the kids really, and their families, are struggling with issues of immigration, okay? And not too long after that, she has a conversation with somebody at the school who connects them to immigration and legal services. And they begin to have a conversation. And in light of that conversation, what had happened was this last week, they put together a community forum on immigration. Now, it might seem like a small thing, but it's a beautiful thing when a church begins to listen to the broader community and the neighbors that are around, not for the sake of saying, how do we get you to come here? Or how do we just assist you? But how do you care deeply for people in the brokenness and the challenges that they find themselves in? And trust that in those moments, Christ is actually showing up. Because that's precisely what God is up to. Paying attention in those ways is spectacular. And so, in that moment, at that meeting, I mean, it was just a beautiful diversity of folks who showed up. And unfortunately, the church that I attend, it doesn't always reflect that kind of diversity on Sunday morning. But that doesn't have to mean that God isn't showing up in other places as well. And that was such a gift. A couple weeks beyond that and prior to that, as you may have heard, in the Seattle area, we had a lot of snow. We probably had, I don't know, we had like over 15 inches and a couple different storms. And as the storm was approaching, the pastor of my community, she noticed that that this was coming, and this is in Renton. And we have quite a homeless population of Renton, but unfortunately, as all cities do, but unfortunately, Renton has no policy of housing people who are experiencing homelessness overnight in the midst of storms. And their policy was this: unless it's like below 30 degrees for a 48-hour period. And there was this big storm coming with temperatures dipping down really, really low. And there had already been a death in Seattle of a person, right? And so the pastor emailed the mayor and connected some other city council members as well. And within an hour or two, there was some movement in terms of the church putting up about $3,000 to open up the city hall and to start working with Dr. Linda Smith, an African-American pastor in the area. And so they opened up the facility. They were able to house folks. And I'm just thinking about those events and those instances as opportunities where listening to Jesus is listening to how God is bearing the life of the world and how we actually participate and we share in that as well. A couple weeks ago, actually it was about a week ago, I was headed to Alaska, and I went to the Seattle airport, and the line was ridiculous. It was the longest line I'd seen, I can't tell you in how long. And I just wound around and around, and I got to this place, and I was kind of complaining to the person in line with me, "Have you ever seen such a line before?" She said no. And then we started chatting more. And it was actually one of the most delightful lines I'd ever been in because we got to talk together. Yasmin is her name. And I asked Yasmin, "Well, what do you do?" And she said, "Well, I live in Kent. And I actually work with children who are experiencing kind of immigration issues." And this was totally separate from what was going on at the church. And I asked her more questions about herself. Well, you know, where is she from? She was from Somalia, came over at 5 years of age as an immigrant herself, and now she was in her mid-20s, started a nonprofit organization and was working to encourage students. And then she asked me, of course, what I did, and I don't like to tell people what I do. It's not always good, the assumptions that people make. But I took a risk and I said, okay, this is what I do. I'm the pastor, and I work with churches and whatnot. And she says to me, "Oh, I want to be more spiritual in what I do." And I thought to myself, and I said to her, "What do you mean more spiritual? Like, what you're doing is spiritual work in caring for others in the places where they are." And she says, "No, I understand that. I want to be more explicit in terms of what God is up to in my work." For me, that instance was really interesting in just honoring Yasmin for the good work that she was doing. And I trust that that's happening in a variety of different places where you are in your settings. And for me, the word from God to listen to Jesus, listen to him, is about paying attention differently than we do. Spending time and being patient in those moments, that what's revealed right in front of us, there's something deeper going on, that we might trust that not only are we somehow bringing God, but God is actually showing up and meeting us in those places among strangers, among the Yasmins of the world, among those who are supporting the legal rights of others who don't know what their rights are, and in so many and variety of ways. So as you think about Lent, as you kind of move forward, you know, how will you listen to Jesus? What will that take as a practice for you? Not just listening to the core of who you are, but being drawn out to hear God through the voice of another. Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for the gift of today. We thank you for this word that we hear. May we listen to you in ways that are new and fresh, that we might be surprised, that we might receive you. Help us to pay attention and walk with us down this mountain as we hear and celebrate and observe how you moved to the cross, that in so doing, You are touched by us, and you touch something new in us with the goodness of life. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please rise? We will sing hymn 838.
For the whole people of this world, let us pray for all according to their needs. The stanzas will end with me saying, Lord, in your mercy, to which you will respond, hear our prayer. Source of light, join us in this continually brightening season, that we might see your light shining through the cracks of the treetops and let it seep into the depths of our spirits. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Maker God, shepherd your people to work in sustainable ways with what you have created, that we might seek to act in ways that are fair and just to your people and places and live harmoniously. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our companion, hold us in your embrace as we move through this life, that we might be enveloped in your care and compelled to share it with others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of peace, guide the people of this world to the love of stranger, that we at Holden might welcome and enfold all who come to this place for solitude, not for our own want, but in genuine love for those to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of promise, sustain us in your hope as we may be lost, burdened, tired, or weary from journeying, that we may be enlivened again by your good news. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Divine comfort, embrace all who are sick this day and all who will die this day. Assure them of your mercy and love as we bear witness, that we might know them in the eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all things named and all things left in our silences, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now you are free to share the peace with one another in this place. Just a reminder to all of you as you're sitting down that our offering today is going to Compassion First, and 100% of what you donate today will be going to them, as we stated during dinner.
Please stand as you're able. Merciful God, everything in heaven and earth belongs to you. We joyfully release what you have entrusted to us.
May these gifts be signs of our whole lives returned to you, dedicated to the healing and unity of all creation. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you. To the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our duty and delight that we should everywhere and always offer thanks and praise to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, who is your light made manifest to all nations. And so with the church on earth and the creation and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Who was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And we pray together. Our Father
in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Just a reminder that there are no barriers here at Holden, and any and all who share are welcome to come and participate in this meal. In terms of the flow of things and the options, the first person in line will be one who has gluten-free wafers. And then there's a common cup. Actually, the second person in line is bread. And the third is the common cup of wine. You can drink directly if you'd like, or you can dip it And as well, there are little cups that you can pick up, and you can either receive the wine from the pitcher, or you can receive grape juice. There's quite a few instructions to go through. I'm not used to sharing all of these. The point is, there's a lot for whatever way you want it. It's here. And the point is, you are all welcome, because this is the Lord's meal. Any and all are welcome to come receive Christ. Come, we're always ready.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have touched us with this healing power and gift of life. We pray that you would continue to strengthen us in faith toward you and in love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Do we do the... Oh. I think we're supposed to do the canticle, but thanks be to you, and I'm waiting. God bless us and keep us. May God's face to shine on us and be gracious to us. May God look on us with favor and give us peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.